And so I now invite you to take out your Bibles as we turn together to Luke's gospel. A lot of times we turn on Christmas Day to Luke chapter 2, but this morning we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 in our Bibles, starting with the 26th verse and reading through verse 38. This is where the birth of Jesus is foretold, of Luke chapter 1. You can find that, by the way, on page 1588 in your pew Bibles. First, let's ask God's blessing, shall we, as we spend time in His Word, the Bible, this morning. Let's pray. We're thankful, dear Father, for another good gift this day, the gift of Thy Holy Word, because Thy Word is life. It brings life to us, and it reveals to us Jesus, who is the living Word. And so as we now think on Him and His birth and why we needed Him, we pray now for the working of Thy Holy Spirit to continue to impact our minds and our hearts with the truth of the gospel. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 1, starting with the 26th verse. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've been hearing the past four Sundays of the failures of some significant sons who have been born to some significant people. The sons of Eli, the sons of Samuel, the sons of David, as well as even the failure of the people of Israel, whom the prophet Isaiah referred to as God's son. With all the failures of these sons arising, of course, out of the problem of sin. The sons whose maybe fathers didn't do a good job of raising them well, but also the sons of fathers who did raise them well. And how these sons are but an example of all the sons of Adam, the children of Adam and Eve, who were conceived and who were born into sin and therefore had a sin problem that infected their hearts, and their very natures throughout all their days in this world. Yes, even when they were surrounded by the teachings of God's laws, the accountability of God's covenant people, the sin was still there. In many ways then, brothers and sisters, this has been the story these past few weeks, the story of the failure of the sons of men to extricate themselves from sin and the sentence of death, which always accompanies that sin. And at the same time, it's been a story about the failure of the sons of men to even have a strong desire and a strong ongoing desire to want to flee from sin. Because sin, with its temptations, is just so alluring. It's so enticing. so pleasing to our fallen natures that even though it brings about certain dangers and death, people still glory in it. They still crave it. They still seek after that sin. Which is then what makes what happened on that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago the beginning of the most amazing story that has ever arisen from the pages of human history. Because it is the story of a true man coming into this world to be the champion of God's people, to be our hero, only to discover that this man was also God himself who came and who did that. Which makes that the most fantastical, amazing story ever told. This is why the Christian faith continues to captivate the imaginations of countless people throughout the world, because this is not some mythical made-up story, but it's history. It's true. Did you see how Mary even responded here to the truth of the message that the angel Gabriel brought to her there in Luke chapter 1? We're thankful for Mary. We're thankful for the faith that she had. God's grace in her life of trusting this message, not doubting it, not running away from it, but embracing this message that the angel brought to her. She responded with such amazing faith, though she was but an ordinary, God-fearing girl, most likely somewhere in her early teenage years, because that's typically when Jewish girls would become pledged, engaged to be married. In their early teens. Gabriel was sent by God from the courts of heaven with an important message to this younger Mary here on earth. As Gabriel winged his way from one world to the next, making his way to some backwater small town in some backwater region, Nazareth of Galilee, where the Virgin Mary lived. We're told two times there in verse 27 that Mary was a virgin. Something the Holy Spirit believed that's important for us to know. This is why Luke includes that here. In fact, not only is it mentioned twice there in verse 27 of Luke chapter 1, but Mary then asked the angel Gabriel that question there in verse 34, how will this be since I am a virgin? So three times we're told here in this passage that Mary is a virgin. I suppose we could also have read from Matthew chapter 1 this morning, the account of an angel appearing in a dream to Joseph, the man whom Mary was engaged to be married to, reassuring him to take Mary to be his wife, because the child that she was pregnant with didn't come about through natural means of reproduction. Mary had not been unfaithful. Mary was not sexually promiscuous, but came about through the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. This is the same explanation that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary when she asked of him, how could it be that she could become pregnant? And she was a virgin. She was going to remain a virgin until she married Joseph. Again, what did we read in verse 34 and verse 35? How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, even in Mary's question to Gabriel, wondering how this would be, this was not a questioning of whether this is true or not. It's not even as if she doubted that God could accomplish such a thing. Rather, her question was a question rooted in her acceptance of God's will for her, but she's still genuinely wondering how such a thing could possibly happen. Mary was old enough to understand where babies come from and how they're made. She hadn't been with a man. She was only going to be with Joseph after they got married because she was a righteous woman. Matthew chapter 1 tells us that. But still, of course, even through this wonderings and trying to process that, notice that God chose to work through Mary, a young woman, in order to bring about the coming of this Messiah. Through her, a child who would begin to be formed within her in this supernatural, wondrous way through this virgin. Within her, would grow within her, would develop within her over this period of 9 months within her womb until at last, on that Christmas day, she gave birth to a son, to Jesus. Jesus was absolutely fully human. And he came into this world the way that every fully human comes into this world, which is by growing, developing, in the womb of a woman, from the egg of the woman, being carried here to full term. Luke chapter 2 tells us how the time came for the baby to be born. That time eventually comes, doesn't it? It's the birth date. Jesus was not gestating in some plant someplace. He was not growing and developing those first 9 months of his life in some bubbling laboratory enclosure. Jesus was not kept up in heaven and then suddenly whisked down to earth at the ninth month, maybe like a stork carrying a baby and delivering that baby to Mary and to Joseph. No, Jesus developed in the womb and was eventually born because he was a real man, a son, which he needed to be in order to overcome mankind's problem. The problem lay with the sons of men and the abject failure of those sons to overcome the curse, so that the only solution would be the coming of another son of man, who was truly a man with an earthly human lineage from the line of Judah, line of David, all the while developing in the womb like a son of man until he was born. And then he would be like us in nearly every way. A baby we oftentimes see in nativity scenes, maybe on ornaments or on tabletops or in people's front yards. And knowing that there is a baby lying in a manger surrounded by Joseph and Mary. The children knew that even as they looked at that ornament. There's Joseph, there's Mary. Jesus, a baby totally dependent on his parents. These earthly parents to provide for him, to feed him, to change him and to bathe him, to protect him and to hug him and to pray for him and to teach him the songs of scripture and to take him to worship every Sabbath day and to teach him to walk and to speak the words around him and to move from soft foods to solid foods and to put him to bed and to wash his clothes and to put a cool damp cloth maybe on his forehead when he came down with a fever or to lean him over some steaming water and to breathe in deeply some of that warm, moist air when he came down with croup. Yes, Mary, you will be with child and will give birth to a son, Gabriel said to her. A son. No other word is used. A son of man. Mary's son. She too was a child of Adam, a child of man. She too was conceived. She too was born. But conceived and born into sin. She needed a savior. She needed a hero to come rescue her from her sin, from her death. She needed someone to make things good again as well between her and the God who created her. Just like all the children, the sons of Adam. A son was needed. And a son was provided. But a son who was also different from other men. Different in the way that he needed to be as this son. We didn't need another Son of Man who was conceived and born into sin. Because if that was Jesus, then Jesus would be just like all the other sons of men who had been born and who would be born. Jesus then would have to be essentially different in an important way. Because if he was conceived and born into sin, he would be no different than Eli's sons or Samuel's sons or David's sons or all these sons of Israel, the sons of God. No, Jesus needed to be different in very one, in a significant, important way. He couldn't be like all these other sons, which is why it took the Holy Spirit coming in this supernatural way, coming to Mary, and the Bible says that he overshadowed her. He hovered over this virgin. In much the same way that the Holy Spirit overshadowed, he hovered over the waters of Genesis 1 verse 2, and he brought about life thereafter. And creation, and therefore life began when the Holy Spirit there also too was overshadowing, was hovering. The Holy Spirit brought this about. God, the Holy Spirit, needed to do a new thing in this world. He needed to bring about a new type of creation into this created world, a different sort of Son of Man than all the other sons of men who had already come and who had gone. To bring about a new man into this world who was the eternally begotten Son of God. For Jesus, through his Spirit, Jesus came down from the glories of heaven and he overshadowed and hovered over Mary's virgin womb. And he entered into the humility of this world so that finally a Son of Man might be born who wouldn't falter or fall like all the other sons of men had done. This Son of Man had come about differently in the womb than all the other sons of men to avoid that poison pill of sin that we all receive at the time of our conceptions. Which is why this Jesus, the Son of Mary, but also the Son of God, needed to also be the Son of the Most High God. Verse 32 and verse 35, what did we read? Gabriel said, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And then verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Yes, the Son of Mary. Yes, the Son of David, but also the Son of God. For only God Most High, only he could be above this icy grip of sin, which had grabbed a hold of every single human being, every man. Only God Most High could be immune to the siren song of sin's temptations, which beckons the sons of men to lay hold of the kingdoms of this world at the expense of the kingdom of heaven. Only God Most High could provide for the children of Adam a way of escape. And this is why this Son of Mary also needed to be the Son of God Most High. A son, the angel Gabriel declared to Mary, who would reign over the house of Jacob forever and whose kingdom will never end, Gabriel declared. His would be an eternal kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God that the sons of Adam were moving away from, but which he would always move towards, a kingdom that he will reign over forever. But that would also mean him perfectly submitting to the Heavenly Father's will in all situations in life. To do that when it was easy, but even more importantly, to do that when it was difficult. Doing so in humility while in this life, so that his work might eventually be accomplished on the cross and on Easter morning's empty tomb. And so that then he might be exalted. And then he might be made to reign on David's throne forever and ever. To usher in that eternal kingdom of love and of light, chasing away the shadows and frigid winds of sin and of death and of hell, and casting them into that eternal lake of fire. That day is coming too, isn't it, Christian? That day is coming soon. The coming of Jesus again. So that in that day, this present chapter of the sons of men, this chapter might be finished. And a new chapter about the sons of men might begin on a new earth, filled with the redeemed, the resurrected sons of men who followed after Jesus Christ, the first man of this resurrection harvest, of whom eventually we will come, and on that great harvest day, we too will see our bodies resurrected from the earth, where they have been sown into the ground, but where they will be raised to new life on that day. And why? Because of Jesus. And because of the greatest story ever told. This is what we celebrate on this Christmas day, as we offer up then to Jesus our hearts and our lives. Because he was the Son of Man whom we always needed. And he came to earth. Yes, Jesus Christ was born. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, for this wonderful gift that again we celebrate on this day, he who is the Son of Man, the Son of Mary, but also the Son of the Most High God, he who is Emmanuel, God with us, we thank thee for him. And we thank thee, dear Father, for again that Messiah who has come to us, that long foretold promise. We're thankful for Jesus, the Messiah. May he continue to transform our hearts and our lives this day, this week, and all our days, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. After we receive God's parting blessing, our doxology will be the one we love to sing on Christmas morning. Glory to God, it's in our Psalter hymnals, number 214. You can sing it in Dutch, or you may sing it in English, but it is an opportunity to give expression of praise to our God the way the angels did. But now the Lord sends you out with a blessing as you go into this day from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God says to you, his people, and now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, and all God's people said, amen.